Okay, thank you for introduction. And thank you for organizers for giving me an opportunity to talk about my recent work. So the title is Entanglement Distillation and Tensor Networks. And I'm motivated by holography. And I usually work in the field theory. So maybe my explanation is a little bit difficult for you sometimes. So please ask me anytime, questions anytime. And this work is based on this archive paper, and which will appear soon in PRD with Matsueda-san and Manabe-san in Japan. And actually, the proof in this paper is updated in the version 2, which will appear soon in the PRD. And also, I will talk about some work in progress by myself. And actually, in the abstract, I said I will talk about some field theoretic generalization, but actually I decided to talk about some more quantum information oriented stuff, which work in progress. Okay, so what I will consider in this talk is this kind of tensor network stuff, and the tensor network is a kind of time model for holography, that is a duality between geometry and the quantum system. And naively thinking, we have a so-called minimal surface, or Ryu Takanagi surface, and we have a picture that is EPR pairs is across the Ryu Takanagi surface. But to justify this, it is a kind of heuristic picture, so we have to justify this picture, and I will talk about how we can justify this picture in terms of tensor networks from the perspective of entanglement distillation. So here's the punchline. So tensor network, usually tensor network is a variational quantum wave function. So from which we can define a reduced density matrix. But instead, we can define a so-called reduced transition matrix. And that from them, we can describe entanglement distillation by the geometry of a tensor network. And this can be applied for arbitrary tensor networks and provide a quite quantitative study of the correspondence between state and geometry in tensor network. Okay, so let me explain step by step. So here's the outline. So I will first introduce briefly about ADS-CFT and how the tensor network is used to study ADS-CFT. And then I will move on to my topics discussed in this my paper. That is entanglement distillation in MERA, so, and also MPS and some numerical results. And if I have time, I will talk about some progress, work in progress, in which tensor networks in higher dimensions, and also there's some quantum circuit implementation. And actually, I can talk about some field theoretic stuff, but if you are interested, just ask me later. All right, so my motivation is holography. That is basically the correspondence between d plus one dimensional spacetime, that is basically geometry, and d-dimensional quantum field theory. So basically a one-dimensional lower quantum system. So we can, one realization of this holographic correspondence, ADS-CFT correspondence, is Ryu Takanagi formula. I think many of you know that. But so the Ryu Takanagi formula states the geometry and the quantum information are in one-to-one correspondence. And in the equations, we can say the entanglement entropy of some quantum system can be given by the calculating the minimal area, a minimal surface area, like this. So the pictorically, we can describe the holographic correspondence as follows. So given some subregion A, we can draw some minimal surface that corresponds to this gamma A minimal area. And calculating, okay, thanks. Yeah, I don't play this kind of sports, but. Let me try. Okay, so this is a minimal surface. And minimal surface corresponds to this gamma A. That gives a minimal area. And calculating this area means calculating this geodesic length here. And calculating this geodesic length means if we have EPR pairs across this RT surface or minimal surface, then it means we are counting the number of Bell pairs. And this means if the entanglement is purely given in terms of Bell pairs, then it just gives entanglement entropy. And this, then we can derive the Rita-Kanagi formula. But of course, there is a caveat that is basically in quantum many-body systems. It means ground state, but in ground state, we don't have a pure Bell pair entanglement. We have to distill somehow. So to justify this picture, and also this picture seems originally holds for ADS and CFT. So beyond the ADS CFT case, we had to find some another way to find this kind of qualitative picture. And so the natural question to ask is, can we really see EPR pairs across this minimal surface? And more generally speaking, how we can emerge geometry from wave function. So that is main motivation from qubit. So to approach, to answer these questions, there has been a tensor networks used in holography community as a time models. So tensor network is, as I said, it is a variational wave function and it is a geometrical representation of wave function. And it, by Swengo, it says it provides some qualitative picture for this explanation of Rita-Kanagi formula. Well, that is motivated by this kind of equation. So entanglement entropy or tensor network state is upper bounded by this number of minimal bond cuts here. So for example, in case of MERA, that is one of the tensor network state. If you specify subregion A here, minimal bond cuts, actually this is a minimal, non-minimal bond cut surface. Sorry, I should consider the periodic MERA, but anyway, if this is a minimal bond cut surface, then the number of minimal bond cuts is 1, 2, 3, 4. So here we have 4, and the chi is so-called bond dimension, which gives the degrees of freedom of Hilbert space lying on the bonds of tensor network. So basically, this is a kind of a minimal area in Rita-Kanagi surface. So this provide a kind of discrete analog version of Rita-Kanagi formula. But of course, there is a difference. First, it is discrete. And more importantly, this is an inequality. So in order to justify Rita-Kanagi formula, we have to take some special tensor network so that it saturates this inequality. So there are some proposals, for example, in the holographic state, each tensor is some special tensors so that it satisfies this equality. And also, there is a random tensor network in large bond dimension limit. If you take a large bond dimension limit, you can realize this inequality. But there is some disadvantage for these tensor networks as well. So first of all, the constraints are kind of strong, so that we sometimes have a lack of expressivity in these tensor network. So it doesn't serve as a variational wave function, which approximates ground state. And also, in the original proposal holography, we consider some ground state of critical systems. But now these tensor network, if you compute correlation functions, it is sometimes doesn't have a feature of conformally invariant system. So we have to improve it somehow. So of course we can improve these tensor networks by adding some more detailed structures. But instead, in this talk, let me focus on this original proposal by MERA and try to extend to the more general tensor networks and how we can see the relation between these geometry that is internal structural tensor network and its relation to entanglement. This is very important, and this is very highly non-trivial because this geometry, internal structural tensor network, is kind of hidden in the quantum many body system because the physical degrees of freedom just lies on the boundary. So we don't know about the internal structure a priori. So let me focus on this previous proposal and how they discuss entanglement distillation in this specific model. If you have any question, please ask me anytime. Okay, so in this kind of so-called holographic state, the constituent tensor is isometric tensors. So this satisfies this kind of condition. And in this kind of state, it is known that the procedure entanglement distillation is somehow geometrized. And here, by entanglement distillation, I mean by one-shot entanglement distillation, that is extracting EPR pairs, which whose number equals to the entanglement entropy from the original state. And how we can do that? So if all the tensors are isometries, basically isometry is just adding redundant degrees of freedom. So we can just remove these isometries. And finally, we have our EPR pairs across this red minimal surface. So that's just removing tensors. And in equation, I can say in this way. So if the original state, let's say original state have n log to entanglement entropy, and basically the holographic state can be written in this way. So we have EPR pairs, n EPR pairs, and some isometries are acting on that. So then this belongs to this kind of Hilbert space. But by removing isometries, we can distill EPR pairs. It seems maybe trivial, but we can distill EPR pairs. But the dimensional Hilbert space just decreased because we get rid of redundant degrees of freedom. So we can say that it is an entanglement distillation. But of course, it seems trivial because isometry is kind of doing nothing. So, and also, I'd like to emphasize here that since isometry doesn't change entanglement spectrum, so under this process, entanglement spectrum remains the same. But since this kind of holographic state or isometric tensor network is kind of has a trivial structure, so I'd like to extend this kind of distillation, geometric distillation procedure to a general tensor network. Yes, okay, so to discuss the entanglement distillation, geometrical entanglement distillation tensor network, there are two important aspects. So one is the conservation of entanglement. That is basically here we have the same entanglement spectrum. So entanglement should be conserved somehow. And as for the second point, by definition, entanglement distillation means distilling some maximally entangled pairs. But instead, I would like to focus on extracting strongly entangled pairs, which is close to EPR states. That is, usual sense, entanglement distillation means if you have infinitely many copies, then we can distill EPR pairs whose number is equals to the entanglement entropy. But if we consider one-shot entanglement distillation, we can usually not achieve this upper bound. So I'd like to focus on the case extracting strongly entangled pairs, which is close to EPR pairs. And I will discuss that this conservation of entanglement entropy, entanglement can be easily seen by considering a reduced transition matrix instead of reduced density matrix. And also this extracting strongly entangled pairs is very non-trivial for a non-isometric tensor network. But I will discuss that this kind of process can be systematically studied. Okay, so, all right, so let me move on to my main topic. So by the geometrical distillation in tensor network. In particular, first I will discuss about MERA. So MERA is a tensor network ANSATZ for critical ground states. And it has a minimal surface. For example, in this case, we have an open boundary system, and subregion is here, and its component is here. And we can write two curves, gamma A and gamma A bar. And this encloses the region, all the tensors are isometric. And we call this region as a causal cone of this subregion A. And there are two curves, and this curve cuts 1, 2, 3 bonds, while this curve cuts 2 bonds. So this gamma A bar is a minimal bond cut surface in tensor network. And what we like to see from the holographic intuition is whether we can see the EPR pairs across this minimal bond cut surface. So in order to see that, we need to provide a method so that we can define a state on the minimal state on the, some bond cut surface in a well-defined way. So that's this is how we can consider entanglement distillation. Okay. So to consider entanglement distillation, instead of removing tensors, I will consider cutting internal bonds across some bond cut surface gamma. So, for example, if I don't cut the bonds which across the this kind of bond cutting surface, then if you connect all the bonds here, it just gives a norm. And if the state is normalized, it just gives unity. But for subregion A, we consider some bond cutting surface such that whose endpoint coincides with the original endpoint of the subregion. Then we can consider this kind of arbitrary bond cutting surface. So we have various choices. But in general, this kind of procedure by cutting internal bonds across the bond cutting surface, which we call holiation gamma, then this defines a reduced transition matrix instead of a reduced density matrix. That is, if I define the state on top of this foliation gamma by psi gamma, and state below the foliation gamma as phi gamma, then in general, this psi gamma and phi gamma is not conjugate to each other. Of course, in MERA, if this tensor enclosed by the foliation gamma and the original subregion A, which I denote by M gamma, is isometric, then this cancels out. So in this case, this one and this one is conjugate to each other. But for general foliation gamma, this defines a reduced transition matrix. And maybe it's better to look at some specific example. So for example, in this choice of a foliation gamma in the MERA tensor network, actually this enclosed, the tensors in this enclosed region is now isometric on subregion A. These unitaries and isometry are isometric on subregion A, but for example, I'm not sure you can see that well, but this, maybe for online participants. So this one, this unitary is not isometric on subregion A because it acts by only one leg, and one, two, three. So the input is one and three outputs. So in this case, if the unitary is not dual unitary, then it doesn't act as isometry. Or maybe even when the unitary is not is a unit dual unitary, it doesn't act on isometry, not necessarily. If it is a perfect tensor, then it's okay. But anyway, so in general, it defines a reducer transition matrix. And by changing the location of these foliations, like this one, we can obtain a family of reducer transition matrices. And this will define a state on these foliations. But I will discuss that later. And actually, entanglement conservation can be easily seen from by defining these reduced transition matrices. So the entanglement conservation is just this one. So the left-hand side is von Neumann entropy for reduced transition matrix defined like this one. And this is in literature called pseudo-entropy. And this also has an operational meaning in the similar way as entanglement entropy. That is basically the pseudo-entropy provides average number of dislevel EPR pairs from an intermediate state during the transition from this phi gamma to psi gamma. So this means basically
I think it's the entropy of the
entropy of you mean this
pseudo entropy. What is it?
This is defined by von Neumann entropy for reduced transition matrix.
So it's defined for some this there are like
tensor network
only?
Not necessarily. So for example, I have a backup slide. Yeah. So in general, a reduced transition matrix is defined in this way, given some quantum state psi 1 and psi 2. And of course, psi one and psi two is orthogonal to each other. This doesn't make sense. So let's take some non-orthogonal state. Then, by considering the spectral decomposition of this reducer transition matrix, we can define the von Neumann entropy for this reducer transition matrix. Does it make sense for you?
Let's just rank one matrix.
Excuse me?
Is it the rank one matrix inside the bracket?
Yeah.
So how to do decomposition? It's like trivial?
So for example, one way to compute this one is, is it possible to write here? So you can consider any extension of this one. So like if you compute since this is just a matrix, so you can compute this Rennie version. So from that, if you take n goes to one limit, you can define this kind of pseudo-entropy. And it has some operational meaning, yes, which we can discuss. The proof is written in this paper. All right. Okay, so, so this equation implies a conservational entanglement. And in particular, if we choose the M gamma, that is tensors enclosed by this foliation gamma and subregion A to be isometric, as I said, these cancel each other and define reduce the density matrix. So this results in the same procedure as discussed before. So canceling the tensors by isometric condition means just removing tensors, just equal, equivalent procedure. So for isometric tensors, this procedure is indeed agree with the procedure discussed in the previous literature, so-called greedy algorithm. But this kind of procedure can be applied for non-isometric tensor as well. And to go beyond the isometric case, we have to deal with reduced transition matrix, not reduced density matrix. And so how we can define a quantum state from that? And for that, we employed channel state duality to define this kind of quantum state. I think this is a natural choice to define a quantum state from some operator. And so this state will be regarded as some geometrically distilled state up to the foliation gamma by tensor network. But of course, in order to discuss whether this is a really distilled state or not, we have to compare this one to an EPR state, which is maximally entangled state. So to quantitatively evaluate whether this state is really a distilled state or not, we compute a trace distance from the EPR pairs. So if this trace distance goes to zero, this means we can successfully distill the state up to EPR pairs. But if the trace distance is close to unity, then the displacement just fails. And actually, I'm not sure if you're interested in this aspect, but this resistance is related to Rényi one-half entropy. And in holography, people discuss Rényi entropy rather than this trace distance. But usually in holography, people use a replica trick. So the people usually discuss Rényi n entropy with n to be integer valued. But actually, this is related to Rényi one-half entropy. So what we have to do to evaluate whether to discuss the entanglement distillation in tensor network, we can just compute trace distance by given some foliation gamma. So in order to see that, we perform some numerical calculation in random Mera tensor network. And the reason we want to focus on this random Mera tensor network is, as I said, random tensor network is known to reproduce real Takanagi formula in the large one-dimensional limit. But there are some questions arising. So that is, first of all, the RT formula only tells us about entanglement entropy. So it doesn't tell us why the minimal surface is special. So to answer this, we can consider various foliations and whether minimal surface is really a special or not. And also, to reproduce the RT formula, we have to take large bond dimension limits. But is the large bond dimension limit essential for discussion or not? So let's consider these questions on random tensor network, random Mera tensor network. And as I said, the choice of foliations are as follows. So this one is related to unitary, and this one is just its complement. And foliation E and C are when the foliation equals to the minimal bond cut surface. And this foliation D, gamma prime, is some non-isometric foliation. That is, the tensor enclosed by this foliation gamma prime is just isometric on A. And actually, due to the computational cost, we are able to perform calculation only up to bond dimension equals to 8. But we see a trend that we have a hierarchy between the case of foliation equals the minimal bond cut surface and other foliations. And also, we see a decreasing trend as we increase the bond dimension. So the vertical axis is average trace distance over Hall measure, and the horizontal axis is the bond dimension. First, for each bond dimension, we see this monotonic order, that is, the black line shows this is just a original reduced density matrix, and it's the one related by unitary operator. And the red one shows this is a non-isometric case. So the foliation is beyond the minimal bond cut surface. And finally, the blue one shows the foliation, the case foliation chosen to be a minimal bond cut surface. So the trace distance is just minimal for the case foliation is chosen to be minimal bond cut surface for any bond dimension. So this kind of shows a minimal surface is special in a sense that the trace distance is the closest among all other foliations. And also, if you increase the bond dimension, this gap becomes larger and larger. So all other foliations, this kind of, not distilled, but the state on other foliations becomes more and more orthogonal to EPR pairs, while the state on the minimal surface becomes more and more closer to EPR pairs. And this subfigure shows the case of 16 side mirror, while the other one is shown a side mirror. And this shows a minimal sub. This shows a case the foliation is a minimal surface for subregion six sites or eight sites. We see some decreasing behavior as well. So that's a numerical result. And so I will here move on to the MPS case. Actually, this is more simple. But so far, any questions? Maybe, okay.
Could you remind what is the trace distance between? The trace distance is between the reduced density matrix and the reduced transition matrix?
Yes, the trace distance between the distilled state and EPR pair, defined by this one. This H gamma is a Hilbert space on the foliation. So the in order to compute this inner product, we have to match the dimension of Hilbert space. So the definition of EPR pair here is defined for each foliation. Okay, so let me. Yes.
Is there any way of analytically computing
the trace distance? You mean? Let's see.
There is like for random tensor, this minimal surface is obviously important.
Right.
For any calculation, that's like it minimizes the minimize.
It becomes a domain wall. Yeah.
Is there any such a picture?
So basically, in the large bond dimension limit, it just tells you the domain wall has a least energy, free energy. And otherwise, the foliation is not a domain wall, so it has a more energy cost. And but one advantage of this kind of procedure is that we can discuss even for finite dimension. But of course, your question is analytical computation.
No, it's more like for Reni 2, Reni 3, uh-huh. We know that minimal stuff is very special. So
okay.
For Reni 2, 3 integers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. For 1 or 2, I don't know how to.
I see. I'm not really sure, but I'm not really sure. Yeah, if we can compute the trace distance, it means we can compute a Reni 1/2 entropy, but it'll be great. But yeah, so far I have no idea. Thank you. But if, okay, sorry. Yes.
So, what's the big meaning of this DR? If DR is small, what can we say about this DR?
Which one?
The trace distance of DR. If it is small, what can we say about the state in DR?
If the trace distance is small, this means the state on some foliation is close to EPR state.
Then why don't we just say calculate the inner product of EPR state with the R itself, or?
You mean just computing this quantity?
Why do we need to take the square root of the R?
Square root of, you mean why we deal with this quantum state? That's a question, instead of just dealing with the rho gamma itself.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a very good question. And actually, when I started this study, I first computed just a trace, just trace rho gamma, and some this kind of stuff. So we just computed some overlap between reducer transition matrix and reducer density matrix for EPR state, but. Actually, this is not really good because it is not bounded. Because this is not a Hermitian, this is not density matrix. So this is a reducer transition matrix. So this is not bounded. So for example, if you plot some, we can see this kind of behavior, but this is not bounded by unity. So we are not sure how much this is far from EPR state or not. Yeah, so that's why we define a quantum state. Yeah, thank you. Okay, so let me move on to the case of MPS. Actually, MPS case is much simpler. And first of all, MPS is another tensor network ansatz defined in this way for quantum many-body system. And this is particularly suitable for gapped system. But despite all the difference in criticality, we can deal with MPS as well. And in particular, we can focus on so-called mixo-canonical form. That is, if you have an MPS, we can perform singular value decomposition from left and from right to obtain in this kind of structure. The green tensors denote isometries. And in this mixo-canonical form, it is has a structural analogy between mirror case. So this isometric part corresponds to this kind of isometric region in causal cone, and this one corresponds to this one. But the difference is in MPS case, we have just a singular value matrix in the middle. But in the mirror case, it also has some internal structure. So in mirror case is more rather complicated. But anyway, we can, it is in a completed analogy. So in the similar way, as we discussed for Mera, we can define various foliations. So we keep the two endpoints. First, start from subregion A, we push the foliation towards the minimal bound cut surface, that is gamma zero. So we can define the foliations in this way. And then we can compute a reducer transition matrix, and that's basically just layers of isometries. So by pushing the foliations towards the minimum bound cut surface, basically we are removing isometries. That's what we exactly discussed before. And we can compute a trace distance. And decreasing tau means we are pushing the foliation towards the minimum bound cut surface. And trace distance indeed decreases as we decrease the tau. So, but here, since the entanglement spectrum is completely characterized by this reduced, singular value matrix, so entanglement spectrum just remain unchanged. So it is just a, so this from this we can define entanglement distillation in MPS, but it's very simple. And actually, we can apply this method to a higher dimensional case. Although this is not written in paper, but the story is really simple. So there is a so-called projected entangled pair state, PEPS, and that's for two-dimensional, especially two-dimensional quantum medial body system. And so the yellow legs denote physical spins. And these blue tensors denote some internal structures provided by this tensor network ANSATZ. And let's say we define a subregion A here. Although, for MPS case, I wrote down ket part and bra part, but in PEPS case, I only show you the ket part. And first of all, we can choose the foliation to be just a subregion equals to subregion A. And then we can push the foliation towards a minimal bound cut surface like this. And finally here. And you can see that although the dimensional foliation increased, this is a two-dimensional foliation, while in the MPS or Mera case, foliation is just one-dimensional. But the directional pushing the foliation, the normal direction is just one-dimensional. So in this foliating direction, the geometric distillation can be described by just one-dimensional array of tensors. That is basically in this picture. So this tensor is this one, and by pushing the foliation, the second one is here and here. So this is nothing but the MPS representation. And since we know the MPS can be brought into the mixed canonical form, and in the mixed canonical form, distillation is very obvious. So so since we can brought in to the MPS form, we can say that in this choice of subregion A and in this open boundary quantum system, we can also perform geometric entanglement distillation. But the non-trivial thing is if you put some periodic boundary condition, or if you choose subregion to be just in the middle of these tensors, then it becomes non-trivial, and we cannot really prove whether we can distill whether we can perform entangled distillation in this way. But of course, we can compute trace distance so that we can numerically verify whether it provides a good distillation or not. Okay, so that's the story of higher dimensional tensor networks. And finally, since the I guess main audience is quantum information people, I'd like to talk about a little bit about quantum circuit implementation. So far we deal with reducer transition matrix and some tensor network stuff. And tensor network representation, we have a unitaries and isometries. So the whole computation is kind of mixed with unitaries and isometries. But in quantum circuit representation, we can provide a completely unitary picture. And this actually provides a new interpretation of this kind of geometric distillation. So let me explain. Let me focus on the MPS case. And it is known in the PEPS construction, the MPS can be created by preparing EPR pairs first, then project onto some physical degrees of freedom. So inspired by this PEPS construction, we can write this MPS as some product of EPR pairs and some unitary operator. This is not a unitary operator, but now this one is all of these tensors are unitary operator. And so the geometric distillation is this one. When the subregion A is here and the complement is here, the minimum bound cut surface is just here. And this geometric distillation can be brought into the quantum circuit representation by using this representation, like this one. And since MPS is just a variational, and that's so we have a variational parameters. And actually, I separated the boundary degrees of freedom by Green matrix. So these blue tensors have same variational parameters, and green tensors have some another variational parameters. But actually, I won't discuss in detail, but actually this can be eliminated. But anyway, we can brought into some quantum circuit representation. So, and this distillation implies that by choosing some good parameters, then this quantum, the output by after the post selection, we can make this 2 qubits entangled, highly entangled. And this procedure, although I call this procedure as geometric distillation, from the point of view of preparation of EPR pairs, this is not so meaningful because we already consume EPR pairs as a resource here and distill a single EPR pair. So 2 to 1. So it seems just consuming EPR pairs and do nothing. But rather, it can be regarded as kind of entanglement teleportation. That is, so subregion A is here, and subregion A complement is here. And the EPR pair is only prepared within the subregion A, within the its complement. And the operators also acting on within the subregion. But after the optimization, we can distill EPR pairs, the state close, strongly entangled across the A and A bar from the ground state of quantum many-body system. So so this kind of procedure answers this following situation. So assume we can prepare arbitrary numbers of EPR pairs inside each subregion. Then, using these EPR pairs in each subregion as a resource, how much EPR pairs can be teleported between A and A bar from a non-maximal entangled many-body ground state by LOCC, and how much, how we can do so. And the number of EPR pairs can be taken out in this way is basically equals to the number of bond cuts. So if you choose some optimal tensor network and that's then we expect the number is approaching to entanglement entropy. And how is this one? So basically we have a local operations here. And since we have a common variational parameters, this can be teleport. This can be communicated from A to A bar by classical communication.
Sorry, just a question.
Yes.
So if you don't get zero states there, then what do you do?
Excuse me?
So you do post selection on this to the zero state, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then if you don't get zero state, then what do you?
After the post selection by zero state.
Yeah. You want to get a bell pair in the middle, right?
Yes.
And the other state is zero.
Mm-hmm.
But by that, you mean you do some unitary gate on the till region to make it zero state, or you need to do some measurement to get a zero state?
Let's see. Actually,
it's post selection, so we need to try and deal with subsequent.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, we don't have to restrict this to be a zero state. Arbitrary is separable. No. Arbitrary pure state, but yeah, that's right. We have to perform some measurement, a selective measurement.
So if you don't get that outcome, you just repeat.
Right, yeah. So in that sense, it may be not one shot distillation.
Right. But I guess we can do amplitude amplification.
Somehow
force it to zero.
To increase the amplitude to the zero state.
Yeah, but that will increase the circuit depth a lot, but I think it's bridge points.
Yes, definitely. Okay, here is a summary. So we consider foliation gamma, that is a bound cut surface in tensor network, and by pushing the bound towards a minimum bound cut surface, stronger entangled pairs are geometrically distant tensor networks. And while the entanglement spectrum remains the same. And to consider this situation, it is essential to consider reduced transition matrices rather than reduced density matrix in general tensor network. And our method works for various tensor networks, including higher dimensional tensor networks. Also, the quantum circuit implementation is possible. And so maybe we can phrase it in emergent geometry from distillation. And I'm seeking for field theoretic generalizations, because I'm motivated by holography stuff. And as for the future direction, since the internal structure of tensor network is variational determined, so it is kind of black box. So we'd like to know how the distillation is possible by this kind of tensors in tensor network. So we have to know about the operational interpretation of this one. And actually, this was discussed by these people. And I have some, I have something working now, right now. And also, I want to know some field theoretic generalization like safety realization. And in terms of holography, it is known that pushing this kind of foliation is realized by so-called TT bar deformation. So it might be possible to realize this kind of geometric distillation by quantum adiabatic computation by this kind of TT bar deformed Hamiltonian. And finally, as I discussed in this section, in this section, I said this optimization parameter should be optimized according to this ground state. And it is nothing but tensor network optimization. But maybe if we can find some good parameters, then maybe it's possible to find a universal tensor network based variational quantum circuit to distill EPR pairs for various ground states. I'm not really sure about this direction. So if you have any opinions, please, please tell me. Okay, so that's all, and thank you for listening.
Any questions?
So what
application
for holography or?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let's see if I have. Yeah, so it's very naive. But so, yeah, in holography, we have so geometrical entanglement by entanglement wedge. And we are not really sure how to take out this kind of geometric entanglement and code it in bulk geometry. And the quantum circuit representation of this kind of geometric distillation, it maybe suggests in holography, if you prepare some external EPR pairs in each subregion, maybe we can distill EPR pairs from this kind of entanglement in the bulk geometry by this kind of procedure, but we are not really sure. Yeah, but so basically what we are doing is cutting the internal bonds. So this means we make a measurement in the bulk, naively thinking, because cutting the bonds, internal bonds, means the bulk, in bulk, we think the bulk to be some internal structure in tensor networks.
Yeah, in this picture, we need a cost selection, but if we assume that TD bar, let's say that somehow gravity, we don't need cost selection.
Yeah. So that's very different from the situation I discussed. Yeah. So somehow, from first one, from this paper, it seems that some non-uniform dilatation, that is rescaling operation, could distill EPR pairs. And from holography, maybe TT bar deformation could distill EPR pairs. And both methods suggest we can distill EPR pairs without post selection or measurements. Yeah. So I think it's very interesting to consider these operations and whether we can really distill EPR pairs, and also how these are related to the method I discussed here.
And
Derek
from Debbie.
Thank you. So I have some question about the implementation, the circuit slide.
Mm-hmm.
The first question is that is the identity of the ground state, the classical description of the ground state, available to the person designing the circuit?
Sorry, I couldn't catch your question. So could you maybe?
So, the optimized parameter theta depends on the ground state.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
But why does it have to be communicated between the two half of the circuit? Because do the person designing this circuit know what is the ground state?
Yeah. That's a very good point. And yeah. So to find the if you try to achieve this approximate equality, then we have to find an optimizer parameter. And so basically we can compute the overlap between this state and this state. And this is nothing but computing the overlap between the true ground state and some MPS quantum state, and try to optimize these parameters. And this is nothing but the optimization of tensor network state. But the point is, given some fixed parameters, these operations are local. So in order to achieve this, you are right. Yeah, definitely.
My second question is that if you allow post-selection,
mm-hmm.
It seems that you can transmit, if you allow post-selection and the two sites where you're distilling from share correlation upfront, even classical randomness, you can actually communicate from one side to another.
If you allow what?
Post-selection.
Uh-huh. Or selection.
Because it looks like you post-select on certain measurement outcome. In this case, it looks like you post-select on zero measurement outcome.
Yeah.
You share randomness between the two sides. You should say the errors on one side, but on the other side. Then you can end up, you can actually communicate using post-selection.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm doing here. Yeah, that's right.
But how do I think about distilling entanglement? Say if they already share some initial entanglement, and then I post select, which also allows sending quantum data without communication.
Mm-hmm.
Then how do I think about what kind of resource conversion am I looking at?
So my conclusion is, so the ground state can be prepared by naturally for like adiabatic state preparation. But this in this quantum many-body ground state, the entanglement is not maximal. And they are really hidden in the large sparse correlation among the spatial slice. So my goal is to extract some strongly entangled pairs from this ground state, many-body ground state. And of course, we can have some LOCC algorithm for distillation between many qubits versus many qubits. But this kind of this LOCC algorithm happens to be non-local in subregion A. But by utilizing tensor network ANSYS, it seems that just applying some few gates is possible for some quantum many-body system. For example, MPS could be, this kind of MPS-based algorithm could be better for gapped system.
Thank you.
Yes.
So I still don't understand the purified state from the transition matrix. So I understand why that would be a purification if you started with a reduced density matrix, but is that like choice of the state that you consider, is that like for one, like can you, if it's a reduced density transition matrix, can you consistently take the square root of the matrix? Like that's like a very basic question that I have.
That's definitely possible, because since the entanglement spectrum doesn't change, so the rho gamma is always a positive semi-definite Hermitian matrix.
Okay.
Yes, so we can take a square root.
I see. So then that's why it's well-defined too.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, let's thank the speaker again.
Thank you.